listening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, yesterday the Minister for Agriculture, Michael Creed, acknowledged the extent of the fodder crisis and announced the subsidisation of imported fodder. Later I'll be discussing the matter with Francis Burns, Donegal representative on the IFA's National Environment Committee. But firstly, I've been speaking with Killigordon farmer Patrick Kelly in relation to the weather. He records rainfall on his farm for Met Aaron. And as he's been explaining to me, the real problems have been caused not so much by the actual volume of rain, but the frequency and the fact that there have not been enough good drying conditions.
Yes, Chris. Well, it's been a very bizarre series of events in relation to our weather. And a date that sticks in my mind is back on the 25th of July last, because that's when the weather in my mind broke. And since then, it's been relentless. It's been just one extreme event after another. And in many ways, though, we've been quite lucky through March in Donegal because we missed the extreme snow. Now, I know some parts of Donegal, certainly around the peninsulas, seem to have got a lot of snow, but believe it or not, here in the Finn Valley, we got no snow when the rest of the country was buried in it. So that was a huge relief to us in terms of our farming. But it's the significant factor for the springtime, Chris, is it has been exceptionally cold. I think March actually has been the coldest March on record. And the rainfall for March actually was, we only recorded 47.7 millimetres of rain for March, which will be well below average in terms of total rainfall. So it was a dry, cold month. And that standing alone would actually be ideally what you'd want in a March. But the problem is that it follows all the months before that where we had exceptional events. And for me and my farming, September was the worst month over the last 10 months because it brought winter in extremely early. We had that exceptional rainfall in August. And again, we didn't get the worst of it here in the Finn Valley. I know Inishowen was very severely impacted by that. But we've never recovered from that. So it's continuously rained over the sort of late summer, early autumn and through to the winter, and it's meant that winter started very early and we were using our fodder supplies from end of August onwards. So that's the biggest challenge for Donegal farmers, is the length of the winter rather than the recent severity.
And just to explain to people, you are one of a number of people all around Donegal, all around the country, who measure data for Met Aaron.
That's right. Yeah. There's a number that there's probably about 20 in Donegal that would do it. It's on a voluntary basis. We read the rain gauge that we have every morning at 9 o'clock during the winter time, and then 10 o'clock in the morning during when the time changes, so during the summertime. And we record that and we send it on a card to Met Aaron every month, and then that's going into the database they have for rainfall figures. It was quite interesting, through the severe snow, they actually requested us to measure the snow in centimetres. Now, luckily enough, we didn't have to do it here, but certainly you might have noticed on some of the national media reports where they talked about the measurement or the depth of snow that fell in certainly in Wexford and Wicklow. And that was all their voluntary rainfall recorders who had provided that data for Met Aaron that were then used for the media outlets. So sometimes we're called on to do other things. And certainly last August, Met Aaron would have rang us. It's not often they would contact us directly, but last August they did, after the exceptional weather event on the show. And they wanted to get a picture very quickly as to how much rain actually fell.
And one of the things that always stands out is our weather. It can be so localised. What could be happening in the Finn Valley could be quite different to Lahey or Carndonagh.
Absolutely, yeah. And certainly in a county like Donegal, there's enormous variation within the county. I suppose geography will explain it to you because of our location in terms of close to the sea and having a very long coastline, but also having significant mountains in the county. And that has a huge impact in terms of the rain, where it falls and when it falls. And then you have the whole issue of the cold weather, and there's no point in saying otherwise. We're just lucky in missing the severe snow here in this part of Donegal. There was very few parts of Ireland that did miss it, but we were lucky enough to do that.
Well, ultimately, all the talk is really about the rainfall, the high water table, just the difficult conditions out there. Comparing the last 12 months with previous figures that you have had, just how bad is this year?
Yeah, well, rainfall isn't the big problem, or should I say the volume of rainfall. Like last year, I recorded 1,053 millimetres, which will be below average in terms of total rainfall. We had a very dry year up until July, but of course, since July, it's been exceptionally wet. But the biggest problem we have here is the number of days that it rains. There was only 21 days from August through to the end of February, to the middle of February. There was only 21 days that it didn't rain. So it's that continuous rainfall, the lack of drying, you know, there's no evapotranspiration because you're continuously getting rain. Whether it's only drizzle, it still keeps things damp. And then that allows the ground to get very wet. You know, we only think back to 15-16 when we had exceptional flooding. I suppose it's quite notable that we didn't have a lot of flooding over the last autumn and winter, apart from what happened in August. But certainly from September onwards, we had no significant flooding, and that's because of the fact that there wasn't a huge volume of rain that fell. It was just that it kept falling and falling and falling on an ongoing basis. So, yeah, it's just we've had an amazing number of exceptional weather events over the last 4 or 5 years, Chris. And you would have to, you know, I'm not a person to sort of scaremonger or get worried about these things. But just, you know, we've had three, you know, with the rainfall in Inishowen last August, the Hurricane Ophelia last October, and the snow in March throughout the rest of the country. They were all red warning rainfall or red warning weather events. And, you know, to get one maybe once every 3 or 4 years was quite exceptional. And now we get three in the space of 10 months. So it's certainly, the weather is certainly stepping up in terms of the challenges posing to us.
Now, I know commentators or climatologists looking at the weather scene are loath to rush into making any quick judgments, because it's always based over a long period of time and patterns. But the fear is, as you've touched on there, is, you know, what the last few years we've seen, the fear is if this becomes the norm, we're in real trouble.
Well, yeah, there's a challenge. I think they call it climate change rather than global warming now, because it's quite interesting. There is no denying the fact that the average temperatures across the world are increasing quite dramatically. But of course, because of our location in terms of our latitude, an increasing warmth on the planet doesn't necessarily mean to say that we get warmer. We could actually get significantly colder because of the fact that if anything happens to our jet stream and our Gulf Stream, then we lose some of the heat and we end up being much colder. So that's why it's referred to as climate change. But it's a challenge. We'll have to build resilience into our systems, and a lot of us, certainly in the farming community, people over the generations have always talked about severe weather events. So we've had them historically. It's the frequency, Chris, that's probably more worrying now than the actual event. Again, you know, over the last 150 or 200 years, there's data there to show the different events, and we've, you know, the coldest weather ever recorded was back in the early 1880s. You know, some of the most significant rainfall were various times over the last couple of hundred years too. But it's just the frequency is what's happened over the last, certainly over the last 5 to 10 years, is the worrying part of it, that it's happening nearly every year. And that's, you'll see that, unfortunately, through anybody who's had an experience of flooding, where the insurance companies won't sort of cover you a second time. And then people, unfortunately, have experienced flooding a second or maybe a third time.
So just looking at the figures for since the 1st of January, for example,
yeah.
How are we faring in terms of
rainfall?
Well,
January was a very wet month. There was over 200 millimetres of rain. So it was. But January is our wettest month. So that's very normal to have a lot of rainfall in January, Chris. And February was quite dry, and March was very dry. So again, rainfall hasn't been the significant factor since the 1st of January. What has been our biggest problem is the cold weather. It's been below average now for the guts of 2 months, and we're going now to April, and still temperatures are very cold. So grass growth has been very, very poor, and that's why there's a shortage of feed around the place.
And of course, apart from the data, just from a visual point of view, one doesn't have to go too far to look just at the sodden state of so many fields still.
Absolutely, yeah. Because one of the quickest ways or the best ways to dry out the ground is for growth. If you could warm the plants, will absorb an enormous amount of moisture. It's called evapotranspiration. So you've got the whole movement of moisture from the soil through the plants, and the plants grow. And no matter how much sort of dry weather you have, if you don't have growth, the ground remains cold and wet. And that's because of the rainfall we had over the autumn time and into January. One of the reasons that things look so sodden is not necessarily because of the volume of rain, but it's more to the fact that it's been so cold and there's been no growth. So we need a combination of sort of heat and reasonably dry weather to get the ground to start moving. And unfortunately, the forecast is anything but that. When you listen to the forecast this evening, there are two more yellow weather alerts on, one for cold temperatures and one for severe rainfall. So it's not letting up.
So it's out of our hands.
Absolutely, yeah. We have to deal with it. There's no point. We manage it, Chris. There's no point. We can observe it and we can manage it, but we certainly won't change it.
And that was Patrick Kelly, who farms in Killigordon. Now on to the fodder crisis and the government moves to subsidise the importation of fodder. Donegal IFA Environmental Chairman Francis Burns has been updating me on matters. movement on the supports from the government to alleviate the fodder shortage across the country, and certainly down south it's hit home with Agricultural Minister Michael Creed, and we are now going to see support, and we're going to see imports from Britain and maybe even from France as well. Ultimately, it is better news for the farmers arising out of a crisis.
Yes, Chris, good evening. Yes, once again, the weather's playing havoc, as it's done since pretty much August right through to now. Like, as you say there, it's finally knocking on Minister Creed's door, and he's starting to take heed of what we've been saying. We asked him back a couple of months ago for a voucher system to buy feed, for farmers to buy feed rather than hauling silage and hay up the country. They didn't do that. They put in a transport support measure to haul this fodder up. And, you know, it's left the case now that fodder is getting very tight in the south, even for the south men. They expect it to be out at this stage. They wouldn't really be budgeting for winter forage on into April time, where, thankfully, in Donegal, we are quite common. It's quite common that we have cattle in until the jaws of May time. But the problem that we've faced this year, unfortunately, is that the winter commenced so early, and in particular around Anishone, where the flood farmers were hit. Like, at home, there's cattle in there since August, you know, Chris, and that's a serious pressure on fodder.
And the possibility of a meal voucher system, do you think that will actually come about?
Well, I think he's going to have to look at really look at this now, Chris. When you go to start to transport fodder in from the UK and France, and mind you, fodder in the UK may not be as plentiful as some might think. So the you know, to be able to buy meal locally is certainly going to be one of the most economical options for farmers. And like, Chris, this could blow over in 2 weeks' time, or this could run on. But with the help of God, it'll blow over nice. You know, a bit of nice weather will come in. If we could get a couple of weeks of middling weather now and get the stock out to grass, dry matter should be well up in the grass, and there'll be a bit of kick in the grass and you get a return out of it.
Yeah. Now, I know the IFA, one thing it has mentioned that it's looking for is some form of low-cost loan package, and at least, you know, it's only the people who are going to really need to get the supplies who may go down that road, but at least it would be of assistance to them.
That's right, the other system, surely. And but back to the scheme, you know, that fodder scheme, the transport fodder scheme, it's there as a helping hand, but for people who need fodder at the last minute, and it's difficult to avail of the scheme. There's some paperwork with it, and it's not just that easy to access, you know. We've put a lot of pressure on them. Like Joe Healy, our president, was on RT News there a couple of nights ago, interviewing a couple of farmers down in the Midlands, and the pressure's coming on them. We've been putting pressure on them constantly. And, we've been bringing fodder, Chris, as I've been on to you on your show here a few times over the last couple of months. As you're well aware and your listeners are, we've brought a lot of fodder up into Donegal from the south of the country. And I think that has helped our situation slightly. We're not out of the woods by any means, but it has certainly helped our situation that we've been chipping off the block all along there. And, you know, if we hadn't done that, we'd be in real dire straits at the minute, Chris, you know.
And do you think there are cases of people maybe holding back on fodder stocks?
Wouldn't be fair to say if they are or aren't, you know. Fodder is available. It is expensive. And it's far in the south. So when you add it all together and bring it to Donegal, it's hard to know if it's a viable option for a lot of people, you know, when you add in the expense of transport. And if you're looking at taking silage up and you're only getting maybe 30-odd bales of silage onto a truck, Chris, it works out astronomical costs. And that's where if a meal voucher would come in, you could cut back on the roughage. So a load of silage coming in along with a bit of a meal voucher and upping the meal, and you have less roughage like that, you'll get, you know, it'll stretch out. That roughage is going to be carted up from the south of the country or brought on from England, be it hay, silage, straw, alfalfa. That's going to stretch out a lot longer with the help of a meal voucher.
And that was Francis Burns, Donegal IFA Environmental Committee Chairman. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steer base of €4 to €4.05 a kilo. Heifers making €4.10 to €4.15 a kilo. R grade cows making €3.70 a kilo. Onto the sheep prices and strong demand for hoggets. Prices of €6.10 a kilo to tops of €6.20 a kilo. Ewes €3.20 to €3.30 a kilo. And spring lambs making €7 a kilo. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore. Until next week, goodbye.